There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Hey.
Artest is in the stands.
But if y'all waiting on me to apologize, hell gonna freeze.
Wait. Welcome one, welcome all. Points in the Paint podcast. Another episode, another week closer to the start of the regular season of NBA basketball. I'm Ben Wittenstein.
I am Zach Badgerhaus. Excited for the season to begin real, real soon. And I'm always in the house.
You can taste it, Zach. You can taste it. We're about a week away, almost a week away from the regular season of NBA basketball to get underway. It's been a fun off season. You can go back and listen to all of our team previews that we have done so far. We have another one for you this week. It's Miami Heat. We talked to Miami Herald reporter Anthony Chang about everything involving the Miami Heat, Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo's chemistry, playoff opportunities, where this team's going to go with Victor Oladipo once he's healthy. You know, we talked to him about everything, Zach.
Yes, we did. We even got a little bit into Tyler Hero. And so that was good to see how he's going to come out this year. It's like maybe a comeback season brewing for Tyler Hero. So it's going to be very interesting to see how the season's going to go for that team in South Beach.
Oh, yeah. It should be fun. It was a good interview. So stay tuned for that. That is towards the end of the episode. But we just wanted to get to a few things first. And first thing is first, Zach, we did want to mention, of course, the voicemail, because we did get a voicemail this week. It was a long one, but it was a good one. It was about 2.5-3 minutes long. We were able to edit it up for content and for purposes of the episode, but it's good. Again, you can call 773-273-9088, 773-273-9088. We should just give out an assignment for this week, since next week, once we record, it'll be the start of the regular season. So give us a call and just tell us what you're excited about with your team. What are you looking forward to with your team? Because, Zach, at the start of the season, everyone's 0-0, right? Everyone's undefeated. Everyone starts out with high hopes. Everyone's excited for the season to begin. So tell us what you are excited to see from your team this season. Hopefully we get a good amount of people calling. We can get a little montage going with teams from across the country. We can hear what their fans are excited for. So 773-273-9088. It'll also be in the description of the episode. But let's go to the voicemail we got this week.
Hello. Please leave a message after the tone.
Hey, man. Say, man. This is Mike Bass. Zach, boy. I'm calling in to tell you guys, and I love what you guys are doing. I love the podcast. Let's get down to it, man. I love the new foul baiting rule in the NBA. I think it's going to bring the game to a much faster pace. It's going to flow better. It's going to make guys like, James Harden and Trae Young does it a little bit. Actually, Curry is the last thing when the preseason games. You guys are kind of like that baiting for a foul, you know. They are shooting the ball and not in a basketball manner. You know, you shoot the ball and then you win into the person that's flying by you and then you win into them. That's not a foul enough. I mean, on a defensive player. You initiated that contest. So I definitely like that rule. The whole Kyrie thing with him not being vaccinated, him possibly missing games. I feel like I can get real messy, but I understand his stance about being forced to be vaccinated. You know, everybody should have free choice. Obviously, that's, you know, one of the things, or supposed to be one of the things in our great nation, is that you have free choice, but it seems like it's being forced upon him to get vaccinated. So yeah, I understand, like I said, I understand his stance. You know, it's nobody else's choice, or people can't make him get that, you know, and the NBA shouldn't be doing stuff to make people get it. You know, that should be a choice that's made. The Ben Simmons situation, that can get messy. That's getting messy as well. They're withholding money. He just listed his property for sale. I think that needs to be resolved. I think they need to go ahead and trade him. I'm not saying he can't be a quality player. He can't be a star level, but he does definitely need to work on a shot, but they need to trade him sooner rather than later. And if I was them, I would probably trade him to the Blazers. It's probably the best return you're going to get. Or depending on what, you know, some of these other teams in the East could do. Some people can do a nice little package. Maybe Cleveland, you know, based around Colin Sexton, maybe some picks and some other people as well. Or you may pick Malcolm Bogdanovich or Terrence LeVert.
All right. We appreciate the points of the painter calling in. It was a long one. It was a good one. He had a lot to get off his mind, and I respect it.
Yes. The foul call, I do like that new rule that's put in place. You know, that's going to allow guys like James Harden with the, you know, the hook and grab, or, you know, the flopping that he would do, or just, you know, putting his arms underneath defenders to draw fouls, or, you know, just to flat out the flopping with Trae Young that we saw a little bit that he touched, that Bass touched on. And so, yeah, I'm glad that they're going to clean that up a little bit for this season and see how it's going to really affect, you know, really down the stretch of games. I think that's what's going to be pivotal the most, is with how it's going to affect, you know, the last 4 minutes, last 2 minutes of these NBA games.
Yeah, that was the most annoying part, I think, of NBA basketball and how it's evolved in the last, what, 2-3 years? We've just been seeing it more and more. Like, it's been increasing, it seems like, every single season where these guys are coming in. And now we see guys coming out of college. And we see them doing. I mean, Luka Doncic, he didn't come out of college, but he came from overseas, and he's doing the same exact thing because he saw James Harden doing it before he got to the NBA. So it's one of those things where I'm glad now players can't just pump fake and really lean into the defender to try to get that foul. I mean, that it was absurd, and it was absurd to see at the end of games because you could get cheap foul calls to come back. And frankly, it was annoying to watch. It's bad basketball. It's just bad basketball, Zach. And I'm glad they're getting rid of the rule. Hopefully the officials found it as annoying to blow the whistle on those calls as we were watching it. So hopefully they keep their whistles in their mouths, Zach. So that would be nice. He talked about the Ben Simmons issue, which it's an issue. And we get reports today from our own Shams talking about how he may go back to Philly. Philly really wants him to at least come back and get back into the fray of things. I don't know if that relationship is amendable at this point. I would have to imagine he hates Joel Embiid. Joel Embiid hates Ben Simmons. And Doc is calling him out at the end of playoff games. You can't imagine Ben Simmons likes his coach at this point. It just seems like the relationship between him and the team and the star players and his coach is just terrible.
Yeah, Ben. And, you know, it's funny with Simmons because, like we've said time and time again, you know, if he would just work on his jump shot, you know, it'd be a lot different. And people would say a lot of different things about Ben Simmons, a whole lot different. But here we are. You know, he didn't work on his jump shot. He was called out. And you're absolutely right. I don't think it's going to work out, because how can you at this point go into a locker room with a franchise where you're basically not wanted and you don't want to be there either? And then you see how Embiid feels now at this point, like, all right, bro, you just need to be here. You know, I understand it's a business, but you know, your feelings are hurt. And it's just a whole toxic situation. You know, that's the word of the day, you know, right now. It's toxic. It's just a lot of toxicness going through that Philadelphia organization. And it's tough because Embiid is good when available. You know, so he is a MVP caliber player, you know, when healthy. And so to not have a guy like Ben Simmons be there because if he's in his feelings and don't want to improve his own game for the betterment of, you know, getting traded. Cause he's saying about, you know, the whole trade value thing. And that's hilarious because it's not his job. It kind of is, bro. Like, you're the player. You don't want to have to go out there and perform.
It's crazy to me. And he seems like it's the type of relationship at this point now where it's like you were in class, you were in school, you had a teacher who forgot to give the homework and the class is winding down. And then that one kid raises their hand and says, hey, teacher, you forgot to give this homework. Is this something we're supposed to do tonight? That's what everyone feels like about Ben Simmons. And I think that's the type of relationship that he's going to have with those teammates. It's just contempt, hatred. And that's not something you want on the team. And it doesn't seem like something that they should want to have him back for. Just try to get rid of him. See if you can get something from him, because he still has value. He is one of the best, if not the best, defenders in the league. He's a great facilitator, and he seems like he's just playing the wrong position at this point. So he has value for trading.
And then another thing that's interesting too, you know, that's pretty, that can become pretty messy is the whole Kyrie situation, which Bass yes. kind of touched on too. And, you know, that's in our rundown as well, is how he's refusing to get vaccinated because, you know, and Bass touched on it, but I don't necessarily agree with the whole being forced, because no one's necessarily being forced to take the vaccine necessarily. No. It's, you know, if you don't take it, you know, in the state of New York, where you, in order to be in certain places, you have to be vaccinated or, you know, show proof. If you don't have that, then you can't enter the building. And that's where he plays. And we know that's 40 some odd games plus the New York Knicks game and the game for the Golden State Warriors on the road. And so when you have all those elements transpiring, that's what, at least 44 games at 45 games at bare minimum, that Kyrie is, what it sounds like, is willing to not play in order for this vaccine. And I think that's a detriment to the Brooklyn Nets team and what they're trying to do in terms of winning the championship.
Yeah, 100%. And I agree. I mean, I don't think the NBA should be saying you have to get this vaccine if you want to play in the NBA. It should be a choice. And Zach, the thing with choices, though, the thing with having a personal choice, and it's important to be able to have that personal choice, 100%. Kyrie should be able to decide if he wants to get the vaccine or not. Yeah. But choices have consequences.
They do.
And your choice, you have to understand that the choices you make are going to have consequences. So you may say that's fine. He has the choice to do it. But you have to accept the consequences, because the consequences of not getting vaccinated mean you're not going to be able to play 82 games at home for the Brooklyn Nets. And that is hugely important. That is hugely impactful. And we just it's not something the league has ever had to get themselves involved in. It's never a situation that has really ever existed in the NBA where a player puts themselves in a position where they can't play half of the games. You know, like, what do you do with that? And he's not going to get paid for those 82 games. Is he even worth having on the team at that point if he can only play away games? It's so weird.
And then that's another thing, too, that goes into the deeper conversation of, okay, Kyrie is eligible for an extension with the Brooklyn Nets. And so you have their front office, Sean Marks and all those guys. They're sitting there at the table and they're thinking about whether or not they're going to keep him long term. Right now, it doesn't seem like they're having an issue. And then Steve Nash came out and said, it looks like so far that, you know, he's going to only play half the games. And which is mind boggling to me, because, you know, chemistry, remember, they only played what, 12 games, 15 games at best together, James Harden, KD and Kyrie. And so, when you have that taking place and transpiring going into this season where you could be getting better and building more chemistry, we all know they're all stars, right? We all know they're superstars in this league. So to not have that camaraderie that they probably want, the fluidness, it can hurt them in the long run. It probably will hurt them in the long run.
Yeah, 100%, because they won't have the fully powered team that everyone expects that they would have. And frankly, they should be the favorites if everyone's healthy and everyone's playing all 82 games. Theoretically, this should be a team that wins the finals, or at the very least can make the finals. So this Kyrie decision is going to be very interesting to watch, to see if he breaks or if he figures it's just better for his wallet, like what Andrew Wiggins did, to get vaccinated, because Andrew Wiggins was going to hold out until they said, you're not getting paid for the games that you're going to be playing. And he's going to miss 82 – or he's going to miss – yeah, he's going to miss what? 41 games of playing at home in Golden State? Like, yeah. It's – like, what are you going to – what are you doing? Like, it doesn't make any sense. There's no way that is more important to you to, like, make a stand against not getting a vaccine than to play basketball at a Hall of Fame level, have a real shot to win a championship – and to get paid the millions of dollars that you should be getting paid at that point. It's very bizarre.
Yeah, it is. This is interesting news right here. I was very surprised by this.
So the Luka news, it's very interesting too, because when you look at it from the perspective of betting, you never really want to like bet the favorite in an MVP race, especially this early on. But there are places that are having Luka as the MVP favorite. And I don't know if I necessarily agree with that, but okay, right now he seems to be the sitting favorite at +380. And Zach, you know how I feel about Luka and how much I love the man and how well that he plays. I am worried that the Mavericks are not going to be as good to put him in the conversation to be MVP.
I totally agree with you.
They're totally going to be great.
Because it's like, you know, that play-in scenario, that's what it looks like for them this year. You know, somewhere in between 8 and 10. I don't know if they'll be able to have the 7th seed, but somewhere in between 8, 9, and 10 is somewhere I believe the Dallas Mavericks will be. And that's not anything to do with, you know, them being in a rebuild mode or, you know, a new coach with Jason Kidd or anything like that. It's just that I believe that other teams have gotten better.
Yep.
You know, I just believe the other teams in the West have gotten better or will get better. Memphis Grizzlies, I do believe with Jaren Collins being, you know, healthy, they will get better by default. I believe they will win more games, you know, and adding Steven Adams and what I've seen in preseason, how they're using him, I definitely think, you know, they'll be able to win more ball games because of the addition of Steven Adams. You know, the Pelicans, they'll probably continue to struggle out there for the most part. Houston, listen, they're young, but
they're young, but
they're fun. You know, they're young, but they're fun. And so they'll be fun and interesting to watch. You know, the Warriors, they'll be back, right? I don't think they'll be in the playoff scenario. The play-in scenario, they'll probably be somewhere in like 6. And so with Luka, with the Mavericks sitting on the outside of the playoffs, I just don't think he'll probably have the numbers. I just don't think, you know, he'll have enough around him to really be considered the most valuable player.
If I'm putting money on anyone right now, right before the season starts, Zach, on someone to be MVP at plus 1400, 14 to 1, our guy, Damian Lillard, I would put money on him to win MVP at the number that he's at right now, because I think the Blazers, again, they're going to be a really good team. I don't know if they're going to go to the finals, but you don't have to have a team that goes to the finals to win MVP. You have to have a team that plays well, and I think the Portland Trail Blazers can be a 4 or 5 seed in the West if they have all the pieces come together, if everyone stays healthy. I think they still have that possibility of doing that, and they could probably win a first-round series. They struggle to do so, but this just seems like this isn't the end of Damian Lillard's career, but this is really the last year or two where I think Dame is going to really just give it his all in Portland, last shot type of guy, where he's going to try with this core team around him to make the playoffs and to make a run for the finals. So I'm not saying you get to win MVP, but if we're talking about smart money, he is 6th favorite, at least on DraftKings, at 14 to 1 to win the MVP. So that might be the guy I put some money on a little bit if I'm feeling an MVP person.
You know, the person I thought you were going to say, like, just flat out hammer. No, not not Jokic. He's kind of far down on the list that I had saw, you know, according to PointsBet. I had saw he was like around like 1400 or something like that. Nikola Jokic, the Joker, the reigning MVP, which I thought, is it borderline disrespectful? I don't know yet.
I don't know if he's going to win back to back. I don't think he's the type of guy that can win back to back MVPs. I love him. I don't think that's possible. it was a hassle to get people to vote for him this time around.
That's true. But I thought you were going to say KD, Kevin Durant.
Yeah, no, he's a great option too. I mean, he's the second favorite. That's the reason.
He is the second favorite. And so I think that's something to consider too, especially with all this noise. And you know, KD, I just want to play basketball. So I think with him going out there and just putting all his effort and all his attention towards, you know, putting that ball in the rim before the Brooklyn Nets, you know, I think he should definitely be considered heavy favorite. So is Joel Embiid, right? Because, you know, if he's healthy, he's definitely got to be in consideration. I think, you know, if he played enough games last season, he should have been a finalist for sure, without question. You know, he missed a lot of games, like 20 or so games, but I think Embiid will probably be in that consideration too. I know it's the East, and, you know, this Ben Simmons thing is crazy, but I think that just elevates his game even more with, you know, the distractions taking place for the Sixers.
We will be making our bets our picks for postseason awards next week.
Yes.
We'll just go through the list. We'll give our names or give the names of people we like, everything, next week. It'll be that preview episode. We'd love to hear from people too. You can tweet at us at Points in Paint, or what is it? At Points Paint, I think is what it is on Twitter.
Yes.
At Points Paint. And you give us a call too. If you want to let us know, text us. You can text us too. That number is textable. at 773-273-9088. So just let us know what your picks for these postseason awards are. We'd love to hear, because Luka's the favorite, Durant's the second favorite, and Embiid, who you just mentioned, is third favorite for MVP award. Finally, Zach, before we get to Anthony Chang of the Miami Herald to talk about the Miami Heat, just want to say the Chicago Bulls, they're back. They're officially back. They're back. They're going to be one of the most fun teams in the NBA. I'm going to watch every single game. Lonzo's going to go off. That Lonzo-Levine connection is going to be
spectacular.
It's going to be beautiful. Chef's kiss beautiful. Vucevic is going to be great. Caruso is going to be the most fun ragtag player that the Bulls have had probably since, like, Kirk Heinrich.
Or maybe Nate Robinson.
Or maybe Nate Robinson. That's true. I don't know if he's going to be able to score like Nate Robinson, but he's going to be able to annoy superstars like Nate Robinson did. So I'm excited, Zach. I just had to put that in there. These preseason games, I know they're preseason games, but the Bulls look like they have the chemistry of a team that's been playing together for 4 or 5 years. Like they look good. They look
pretty fluid,
sharp. Their defense looks like it could be good. Offensively, they're just going to play fast. They're going to play fun. They're going to move the ball. I'm excited.
You should be. You definitely should be. I think, you know, I don't know, we're going to talk about predictions and everything next week, but I think personally for the Chicago Bulls, anything below a 5 seed in the Eastern Conference will be a disappointment. Now, I know it's only been like, yep, you know, 3 or 4 preseason games for Chicago Bulls.
Expectations gone up.
But expectations, you know, they're doing it to themselves. You know, DeMar DeRozan, he goes out there, he's playing well, you know. And then some of the guys I do want to mention is Alizé. You know, I like how he played for the Bulls. I do like what he's done so far. Io, listen, I know Io's talked great to Cam, and Cam said it may be hard for him to crack that rotation. But you saw those last two buckets saw those last two buckets. So, So, and then Javonte Green, you know, obviously he's playing well too. So I think those three will be, you know, cracking the rotation as well for the Chicago Bulls and, you know, producing for them as well, for them to try to win some ball games.
Yeah, it will hopefully increase the depth of their bench. And Io, I mean, he was clutch in the final minute of that game against Cleveland. I know it's preseason. I know he's playing against bench players, but it's good to see at least he's capable of carrying the team on his back in a clutch situation. Yeah, no, that's all you want from Io. That's what you need. That's a good step in the right direction in his development on the Bulls. So I'm just excited, Zach. I'm going to be able to talk about the Bulls hopefully in a happy tone, an excited tone for the rest of the season, for the rest of the way that we do this pod, because it has been a rough 5 years, 5-6 years of being a Bulls fan since D Rose left and Jimmy Butler and Dwayne Wade teamed up. That was when the whole downhill trip started.
Just kind of began.
And now we're back uphill, so I'm excited. I think the Bulls have what it takes this year. I'm not saying the finals, but I'm saying at least a decent playoff run. That's all I'm asking. That's all I'm asking. I pray for it every night. I sit down, say, please let the Bulls at least make the second round of the playoffs. Please.
He don't do that. He was praying for the Bears to beat the Raiders in Vegas. That's what he's praying for.
That's true. All right, so we have Anthony Chang from the Miami Herald on as our guest this week to talk everything Miami Heat. He previewed everything. Again, Jimmy Butler, Bam Adebayo, Tyler Hero, the playoff chances, where he expects them to finish in the playoffs, how they can play against the Nets. It's got everything. So here's your interview with Miami Herald reporter Anthony Chang.
We want to welcome a special guest on the Points in the Paint podcast. He's covering that South Beach team, that team all the way down in Miami, the Miami Heat. But right now he's currently in Houston covering the Miami Heat as they prepare for their preseason game. We want to welcome Miami Herald reporter covering all things Miami Heat, Mr. Anthony Chang. It's a pleasure for you to be on the Points in the Paint podcast.
I can't wait to get back to South Beach, but I appreciate thanks for having me on.
All right. So wait, why you say that? I thought Houston was a nice city. They always say metropolitan, you know, it's a metropolitan city, you know.
No, that's true. Most NBA cities are nice because they're big. I mean, I'm a city. I love big cities, but I mean, you know, I'm a Miami guy. I was born and raised down there. You know, there's nothing like South Beach. There's nothing like Miami to me. So.
Okay.
It's my favorite city in the NBA. I'm a little biased though.
Okay, there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. You had the Heat of years, so no, there's nothing wrong with that at all. So what have been your thoughts so far as the preseason have been underway for this Miami Heat team?
Yeah, it's been interesting. You know, obviously it's early in the preseason still. But with Kyle on the team, he just really gives his team a different feel. Only been one game, but you kind of saw his impact immediately with the pace, they were playing at. They were the second slowest paced team in the league last season. A lot of that's because of Jimmy. Jimmy likes to play, is a very methodical player. But with Kyle, he really pushes things. And you saw it in the preseason opener. It was one game again, but they've been talking about that all at camp. And you kind of saw it in, translate into that game, how they really played at a faster pace. That's a big goal this year. So if that carries over, that is going to be a big change. And then defensively, just Kyle, the way his point of attack defense, the way he's able to keep guards in front of him, the Heat haven't had that in a while. I mean, Goron, very good player for a fan favorite in Miami, but defense wasn't his strong suit. Tyler Hero, just different guards they've had, they haven't been able to do that. Kyle is a special defender, can fight through screens. They don't have to switch as much, on pick and rolls with him in it. So it's just like a different look. They're able to play differently. I mean, less switching on defense, faster on offense. Although the most of the core returns from last year, I really think there's going to be some changes to their style this season.
How much higher do you think Kyle raises the ceiling for this team?
I mean, it's tough. I mean, the East is – those two top two teams in the East, it's tough to put the Heat above them. I still think Milwaukee and Brooklyn, if healthy, are the top two teams in the East, like, clearly. I think there's a pretty good drop-off between them and the rest of the East. But I think the Heat can be the third-best team in the East. I really do. I don't know how much it lifts their ceiling, because last year if you would have asked me this question before the season, I would have said – second, third, because they had just come off that finals run and they had a disappointing year. But I do think they're in that Philly, Atlanta, Boston, kind of that tier. And I give the Heat as good a chance as any of those teams to get to the third spot. And, there's a big question with Brooklyn of not only Kyrie, but injuries too. You just never know with them. So it's one injury away. And I guess theoretically the Heat could be second best team in the East but I would say right now their ceiling is number three in the conference.
So Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo, they seem to build, a relationship over the last 2 years. How do you think the improvement of Bam, how you think that's going to be important, and how you think Butler's going to be able to push him for that to take place?
Yeah, I mean, this team, Bam, as big of a part as Jimmy and Kyle are to the success of this team, Bam might be the most important player just because of what he offers on both ends of the court. A lot of the talk this offseason has been about Bam developing a more reliable outside shot. And I do think he's going to take more threes this season. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's going to take two or three threes a game, but okay. I think he took single digits last year. Most of them were at the end of the shot clock. I could see some they leave him open at the top of the key in rhythm, he'll let it fly. He could shoot him. He won the skills challenge a few years ago. And he has pretty good mechanics. He's a good free throw shooter too, so usually that's a good indication. So I don't think he's gonna become a great, a prolific 3-point shooter this season, but I think it's gonna be somewhat part of his game this year. He was a good mid-range shooter last year, and defensively what he does on the perimeter at his position, I mean, there's not really anybody else that can do what he does. So it is important for the Heat, for him to continue to improve. And I think he will, because he has every year. But I also think it was good for him to have a full offseason. I know he had the Team USA experience, but just to have an offseason, somewhat of a break, he was never really 100% last season. He had the shoulder injury in the finals, had a month offseason. He didn't really lift weights all of the season because his shoulder was hurt. He lost weight because of that. This offseason, he gained 15 pounds, comes in 100% healthy. So those are all good things for Bam and the Heat.
Man, I'm just trying to think of how good that Heat team can be. If even Bam is a little threatening to take a 3-point shot, that's just going to open so many things up.
Yeah, no, it's been a popular topic of conversation, and we're probably I would admit the media down here is probably making too much of it. I still don't think he's going to be taking, even one three a game probably this season. Sure. But I just could see even if it's half of attempt a game, or you might hesitate a little bit to leave him open, from that deep. So I do think eventually that's going to become a more consistent part of his game. Probably won't happen this year, but I wouldn't be surprised if we see a step toward that this season.
So let's talk a little bit about the bubble finals breakthrough superstar Tyler Hero. He obviously, you know, went off in the bubble and got a namesake for that. People knew him afterwards, and he comes into last season and
get a song about
disappoints. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, disappointing, frankly. So, what, looking at the way he's played this preseason and kind of the expectations for him this upcoming season, what do you see from him? What kind of contributor do you think he can be? Can he improve on what he has been to the team, or does he kind of know who he is now and kind of his role on the Heat?
I think his role is definitely clear this season. Last year, he began the year as a starter. I think the Heat wanted to see if he could be that starting point guard and play in that role. It really didn't work out. He then moved to the bench, and it was kind of – I think that – look, if you look statistically at his season from his rookie year to the second year, his stats were actually better in his second season. But I think when you look at the context of it, I agree with you. It wasn't exactly – improvement on his rookie season because he was so good in the bubble. The expectations were so high.
Yeah, that was kind of his
so
fault.
Much yeah. I mean, like, not just that bubble run, like, people just expected him to come out of the catapult out of that and be like an all-star caliber player. And it was probably too fast for him to really realistically expect that. I mean, he's still only 21 years old. He didn't really succeed as a starter last year. So I just think all of that kind of together, people look at last season as a disappointment for him. But I will say that you look at the numbers, and they weren't terrible. I mean, they weren't maybe what you expect. But they were a little bit improved from his rookie year. So I think he's going to continue to improve. He's still the youngest player on the roster at 21 years old. He's solidified, you know, in a six-man role. There's no, like, question of, is he going to start? Is he not going to start? You know, so that conversation is no more, at least this season. So I do think he's going to become better. This is really the first full NBA offseason, which he made a big point about, kind of reminding people he'd really never had an offseason before because of last year was. And he also added weight. He added, just like Bam, he added 10 to 15 pounds, and you could see it. So I think that'll help him, especially defensively, with being able to stay on the floor, because he might be able to stay in front of guys and hold his own.
So, what's the lineup looking like for the Miami Heat this upcoming season? Like, who's going to start?
Well, I think one of the good things about this team, although there are new faces, I think it's pretty clear right now who's going to start if they're healthy. It's going to be Jimmy, Kyle, obviously, Duncan, PJ Tucker, and Bam.
Okay.
Yeah, it's PJ has been working that starting role. They had an open scrimmage. He started with that group. Preseason, he started. So feel pretty confident right now saying that PJ, if he's available, will start opening night. And then the bench, you know, the first three off the bench, Tyler Hero, who we just spoke about, Dwayne Dedman as Bam's backup. And then they have Markieff Morris, who will probably play some, you know, play behind PJ and also might be able to play some center just because when he wants to play small ball lineups, he could play at center. Then they have Max Strus and Gabe Vincent as kind of like that ninth and 10th guys off the bench in the back end of the rotation.
So Miami seems to always find this, like, diamond in the rough player, you know, Duncan Robinson. Kendrick Nunn had a run where he was practically my rookie of the year, his rookie year. So, you know, he had a spectacular year, in my opinion. So who's that next player the Miami Heat has that can be, you know, on the fans' radar for this upcoming season?
There are a few. I think one of their two-way contract players is going to have a role on this team. And he had done in the past, like we just talked about it. Gabe Vincent, Max Strus, like now they're probably somewhere in the rotation. They were their two-way guys last season. I think Caleb Martin, who you guys probably know, obviously, he was an NBA. He was a standard contract player for the Charlotte Hornets the past two seasons. The Heat somehow found a way to get him on a two-way deal. He's one of the more experienced two-way guys in the league. He's been impressive so far. It's early, but just his two-way ability defensively at the wing position. He's long. He can get to the rim, draw fouls, finish. Three-point shooting needs a little bit of work, but he's shown in the past that he's a streaky shooter, so he does have the ability to make it. He just has to become more consistent from there. So I do think that, especially on a team that's a little older, I think Caleb Martin is going to have a role in this team as a two-way guy. And then you look at further down the roster, I mean, Marcus Garrett, the Heat's other two-way guy, he might not be ready to contribute in the NBA immediately. He might spend more time in the G League, but he was a former defensive player of the year in college at Kansas. He impressed in summer league. He's another guy to keep an eye on. And then Omer Yurtseven, who in summer league really impressed and earned a standard contract from the Heat. Again, I don't know how much he'll play this season, but he's definitely talented and has a lot of offensive skill for a seven-footer. I mean, he could score from three in the mid-range, in the post, still learning and improving defensively. Mm-hmm. But he's another young guy that with his size and his offensive skill level, like, he's gonna have an NBA career.
Man, former Bull Max Struess, too. I was a little upset when they gave him away.
Yeah, and he's really developed. I mean, even last year, I think, you know, it was a weird camp. Obviously, last year was a shortened camp, and he was added as an Exhibit 10 guy, kind of competing for that two-way spot, and the Heat were impressed immediately. Because he's not just a shooter. Everyone thinks he's just a shooter, but he's pretty athletic, and he can hold his own defensively as well. So, and he's gotten better. I mean, in summer league, you could tell. You always want to look for your guys in summer league, at least the NBA, the ones on your NBA roster, mm-hmm. to really stand out. And Max Struess is one of those guys. Like, he looked like an NBA player. He was often the best player, or one of the best players in the court in summer league, which is usually a sign of this guy belongs in the league.
Yeah, certainly I know a guy will be, and myself will be rooting for it just because, you know, that Chicago roots. So, Anthony, for our preview for the Brooklyn Nets, we talked to our friend Keith McPherson from Talkin' Nets, and we asked him, you know, what teams are he scared of for the Nets to face? And the Bucks obviously were one of those. And he mentioned the Heat as one of those teams. Do you see the Heat? And I know you said, you know, maybe top five type of team in the East. Are they a team that could give these top teams a run for their money in a seven-game series when you come playoff time?
I think so, but it's because of their defensive potential, I think. Okay. I think offensively, you hope that this can be like a basically an average offensive team, because there are question marks offensively with this roster. But defensively, they have to be top five to really live up to their potential. And they have the roster to do it. But if you look, I mean, Victor Oladipo is a guy we haven't talked about.
Okay.
You know, he's expected to come back at some point this year. It might not be until February or later in the season. But if he's back and you could throw a lineup out of Kyle Lowry, Jimmy Butler, Victor Oladipo, PJ Tucker, and Bam Adebayo.
Ooh-wee!
Wow. I mean, yeah. Offensively, again, I don't know if they can keep up with the Nets. Probably not. But right. Defensively, they have enough guys in the perimeter to really give all their stars some issues. And they're one of the only teams that can really do that. So I think from that perspective, yeah, I don't think any of those teams really want to face the Heat, especially if Victor Oladipo is healthy, because they have so many really, really good defenders.
Ooh, those are going to be some gross games with that defensive lineup. Ooh.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Might be tough to watch, but it's one of those teams that, like, you don't – if you're an outsider, maybe you don't love watching, but if you're a fan of, you know,
like, this is great.
Yeah.
I mean, Vic, that's funny you mentioned Vic because we didn't talk about him, but he is another player that you could probably consider an under-the-radar guy that can really put this team over the top.
Yeah, I mean, he lifts the ceiling of this team, right? I mean, it depends on what Vic you get. You know, just two or three years ago, he was – an all-star, one of the better players in the NBA. Obviously, a lot has happened since then.
Yeah.
But if he's healthy, and he's like, even last year when he was playing, you know, based on one leg, he needed to have the surgery again, he was averaging close to 20 points a game. Now, the Heat don't need that from him when he returns. But if he can, he's going to play off the bench, and if he can give him like 12 to 14 points and really, really solid defense, and you could throw out lineups where you have all those, you know, basically two-way guys. I mean, Vic could be a two-way player for them, where he can score, obviously, and he can also really be a good defender. It really lifts the ceiling for this Heat team to, you know, yeah, I mean, third in the East for sure, but maybe even being able to really give the Bucks or the Nets a challenge in a playoff series.
So, final question, Anthony. And yes. This is our best question because it's for you. It's your own personal question for you to answer.
All right.
What's your hottest take on the Miami Heat for this upcoming season? It could be anything. It could be how they're going to finish. It could be a crazy trade that may take place. It could be anything. Your own personal take on the Miami Heat for this upcoming season.
Man, I don't even know if it's considered hot at this point, but I think that they're going to be a top five defense in the league. One. And then I'll give you an extra one of, I think Tyler Hero is going to be a top contender for the Sixth Man of the Year award this season.
Ooh, Sixth Man. Okay, so if he's Sixth Man, yeah, I do too. If he's Sixth Man, what do you have him on the most improved chances?
Most improved, man, it's so tough because guys come out of nowhere. But I mean, yeah, if he's up there on the list for Sixth Man of the Year award, then he has to be up there on the list for most improved. So yeah, I think he'll be a candidate for both those awards this season. But I just think Tyler, you know, he's going to score points. He's going to score probably around 15, 16 points a game. And off the bench, you know, guys who do that, if he can do it efficiently this year, or at least more efficiently than he did last season, I think he'll get real consideration for that award.
Well, Anthony Chang, we appreciate you joining us. Where can people find you online, on Twitter, and find your work and everything like that?
Yeah, MiamiHero.com to read all my stuff. And then at Anthony_Chang to follow me on Twitter and keep up with, you know, all the latest Heat news and content.
Awesome. We appreciate you joining us.
Sweet, sweet. Yes, we definitely appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
All right. We want to thank Anthony for coming on. Appreciate him. Love his hot take. I think the Heat should be pretty good this year.
Yes, I totally agree. You know, it was great for him to really dissect, you know, what he talked about with Bam and his improvement and what they expect out of Bam Adebayo and how, you know, Jimmy Butler's really going to push that. And, you know, so this team, like I said, they should be in the mix, you know, somewhere at the top of the Eastern Conference for sure. And, you know, Victor Oladipo, I think, is that hidden gem. And defensively, oh, my goodness. Yeah. They can really lock in defensively with Kyle Lowry, Victor Oladipo, and Jimmy just alone on the perimeter. Then you got Pest, P.J. Tucker, and you got Bam Adebayo holding it down, you know, down low.
Yeah.
That can be a team that can really, you know, put teams in a clamp situation where they can get opportunities to go on runs where they just look great on defense.
Yeah, we said it, too, at the end. I mean, it's going to be a gross team sometimes to watch. They're probably not going to get buckets at a consistent rate, but the teams that they play are just going to be frustrated. They're not going to be able to do their normal offensive routines. They're not going to be able to do the plays, and the game plan's not going to work out. It's going to be ugly. It may look like 90s basketball where these scores are ending, you know, 95, 89 type of thing. But they're going to be doing work. They're going to be getting wins that way. They're going to be holding teams under 100 points. And if they do that, they have a shot to win against any team in the NBA at that point.
So, again, we want to thank Mr. Anthony Chang for joining us from the Miami Herald, talking everything about that team all the way down in the South Beach, the Miami Heat. Big things on the way for that team as they added, you know, Kyle Lowry. But in the meantime, this is going to conclude this edition of the Points in the Paint podcast presented by Stadium. Make sure you follow and subscribe, rate, and review Points in the Paint podcast wherever you get your podcast. You're looking to make some money, make sure you subscribe, rate, and review Sharp Lessons with my main man Ben Wittenstein and Nate Jacobson as this NBA season gets squared away. Make sure you stay tuned and find out what they're betting, everything around the association, and of course the NFL and college football as those continue this season. Now, my main man as well, Mr. Felder, Michael Felder. I've been getting very acquainted with him being lately as it relates to college football. That man pretty smart.
And he knows the stuff.
You do not want to miss Tape Don't Lie, the podcast with Michael Felder. He's talking everything football, gets great deep analysis, and has great guests. And you will hear from Zach B, that's me, and my main man, Ben Wittenstein. You'll hear from us next week.